This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every blessing He has given us. We praise Allah for every single new day that He has allowed us to worship Him and to study His faith and to come closer to Him. We thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for having guided us to this beautiful religion. And were it not for Allah's guidance, we would not be guided. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to maintain His blessings upon us and increase those blessings and to never ever show us a day where those blessings are stripped away. And we ask Allah for Jannah and we seek refuge in Allah from Jahannam. And one of the things that will help us come closer to Jannah and help us avoid Jahannam is to know more about Jannah and Jahannam. And that is why we are doing this detailed series of Jannah and Jahannam. And we are now on our lecture regarding some of the details of Jahannam. In my last lesson, in the last lecture, we talked about some of the punishments of Jahannam, and in particular the food and drink and the clothes of the people of Jahannam. We will now continue, and I will try to, inshallah, summarize 10 more specific aspects of punishment that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah about the punishments of the people of Jahannam. Of the things that are mentioned, so again, this is just 10 points. Again, this is a continuation of last lesson, so it's not as if we are actually not even starting from number one, but just so that for today's lecture, let's start from number one for today's lecture, that of the things that are mentioned is that the punishments are so severe in Jahannam that a person, even after 1 millisecond, will forget that there was anything called pleasure. The person will not even understand that there was something called pleasure. The person will not ever imagine that he ever experienced pleasure in this dunya at all. Every memory will be gone of that because of the suffering and the pain. And this is mentioned in a number of traditions. For example, in Sahih Muslim, Anas ibn Malik says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will come who was one of the most blessed people of this world, and he will be brought on the day of judgment and destined to go to Jahannam. So one of the most luxurious, one of the most fortunate of this dunya, all the blessings of this dunya, of wealth and of palaces and of sensual desires, everything that he had, and he will be brought and be punished for Jahannam because he was a rejecter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he shall be dipped into Jahannam. فَيُصْبِغْ, yeah, just a dip, يعني صبغة, which means you dip in Jahannam. Then he will be asked that, O son of Adam, have you ever experienced any good? Have you ever had any pleasure at all? And he will say, لا والله يا رب, I swear by Allah, O my Rabb, I have never even known what pleasure is. And it is just a millisecond of Jahannam, and all of these decades of pleasure and decades of heedlessness and decades of ghafla shall be forgotten. And in the other narration in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the person who is one of the least punished in Jahannam, that would you give all that you have in this world to be taken out of Jahannam? Would you give it in ransom, everything that you had? And he will say, yes, I would give it and more than this, O my Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to him that, but I asked you much less than this. I didn't ask you all of this world. I didn't ask you all that you possess. I simply asked that you worship me and don't worship false gods besides me. But you insisted on worshiping those false gods. Notice that he is being asked, would you give up everything? But of course, the Quran tells us that even that asking, it is a type of punishment, because they are asking, would you give a ransom, as if the ransom will help? But of course, it will not help. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ كَلَّا. The criminal on that day will be more than happy to ransom himself from the punishment with all his own children and his own wife and his own brother and his entire tribe. And all who are in the heavens, he would give them away to save himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 36, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُ لِيَفْتَدُوا بِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا تُقُبِّلَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they were to give all that is in this world and then double it even more after this, so that they can ransom themselves away from the punishment, Allah says, they can offer it, it will not be accepted of them, and they shall suffer a miserable torment. So, of the points that we need to emphasize is that Jahannam is so severe that all the pleasures of this world shall be instantaneously forgotten, and all of the desires to be ransomed will hastily be agreed to, but of course nothing will be accepted because there is no ransoming on that time frame and after the day of judgment. Of the things as well that are mentioned, from the fire of hell, is the issue of the hamim, or the scalding water. And the water will come and it will boil them from the insides, even as they drink it and as it is poured on top of them. So in our last lesson, we did the issue of them drinking the water. Today we're also going to mention that this type of water will be poured outside of them or on their external skins as well. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this in the Quran. فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قُطِّعَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَارٍ يُصَبُّ مِنْ فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمِ يُصْهَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَالْجُلُودِ وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. Verse 19 and 20 of Surah Al-Hajj. As for those who reject Allah, they shall be made to wear garments of Jahannam that will be tailor-made for them. So they're going to be wearing garments made out of fire. And then on top of that, يُصَبُّ مِنْ فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمِ, that the boiling water is going to be placed and poured over their heads. يُصْحَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَجُلُودِ, it is going to melt all that is on their inside, and all of their skin will be melted as well. And on top of that, they have to deal with مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدِ, iron maces that we will talk about in the next point. So the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that there is going to be boiling liquids and fluids that are going to be external as well. Of the things that are also mentioned is the chaining up of the people of Jahannam and their physical immobility. They're not going to be able to move because they will be chained up, some of them tighter than others. Some of them will be allowed to walk a little bit and others will be completely chained up, depending on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr is upon them. And we have, for example, in Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in verse number 4, that إِنَّ عَتَّدَ الْكَافِرِينَ سَلَاسِلَ وَأَغْلَالَ, we have prepared for the kafir salasil, and salasil means chains made out of iron, or aghlal, yokes that you place around their necks. And so Allah is saying that there's going to be chains and there's going to be yokes around their necks. Surah Al-Muzzammil, verse 12, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا, we have ankal. Ankal is the chains that are placed especially around the feet area. And so Allah mentions the chains that are placed around the necks in some verses, and in other verses Allah mentions chains that are placed around the feet. The point being that the people of Jahannam will be literally chained up. They will not be able to go too far. And in Surah Al-Haqqa, verse 30, 31, and 32, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمُ صَلُّوهُ ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. That in Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, take him and chain him up. فغلوه, chain him, lock him up, and then scorch him in the fire of hell, and then put upon him a link of chain, a salasil, that is 70 cubits in length, sab'una dhira'an, this is a dhira', and Allah mentions in the Quran, sab'una dhira'an. Now, what is the point of mentioning 70 cubits, 70 hand spans? Remember that 7 and 70 and 700, these are common motifs in the Quran and Sunnah. They are meant to indicate basically a rough number. It doesn't have to be exactly 7 or 70 or 700. As Allah says, if you were to ask forgiveness of them 70 times, Allah would not forgive them. So the point is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying there's going to be a chain, and for some people the chain is relatively long. Sab'una dhira' is not a short chain. And some of our scholars have mentioned that this chain is meant to give the illusion of freedom, but there is no freedom. Because 70 chains, you can walk quite a bit, yani a few, you know, like 30 feet, 20 feet or so. So you think there is something, but then when you get to the end of it, there is nothing to go. And so there will not be freedom, but the person might think that if he goes this way, if he goes that way, he might be able to rush free. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا, 70 cubits away. And of the things that are also mentioned of the punishments of Jahannam, this is point number 4, is the fact that the people of Jahannam, they are going to be dragged around Jahannam. They're going to be dragged around Jahannam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this. This is the Arabic word used is yashabu, sahiba yashabu, which means to be pulled or to be dragged. In Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions verse number 47. يَوْمَ يُسْحَبُونَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِمْ ذُوقُوا مَسَّ سَقَرْ. On that day that they shall be dragged. So this is sahiba, yashabu, to be dragged. So they're not going to be walking when they're being punished. They're not going to have their full volition. Rather, they shall be dragged by the angels of punishment. And they shall be dragged on their faces into the fire. And it will be said to them, taste the punishment of as-saqar. Dhuqu massa saqar. In Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 70. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who kadhabu al-kitabi wa bima arsalna bihi rusulana fasawfa ya'lamun idhil aghlalu fi a'naqihim was-salasilu yushabuna fil hamimi thumma fil nari yusjarun. This series of verses combines what we said previously, and this point, and one more point we're going to mention in the next section. And Allah says in the Quran, those who rejected our book and they called it to be a fabrication, and those who rejected our prophets, they shall know the consequences of that rejection. Idhil aghlalu fi a'naqihim, when the yokes are going to be around their necks. So here we have the concept of an iron chain, a lock that is placed around the neck. Wassalasilu, and they will be then be chained up. So there's going to be an iron lock, and then that iron lock itself is going to be chained up, and then what's going to happen? Yushabun, they shall be dragged. Right? So this is how prisoners of war are treated, you know, after the army is conquered or whatnot. They are taken and they are dragged. Yushabun. And where will they be dragged to? Fil hamimi thumma fil nari yusjarun. They will be dragged through the boiling water and then into the fire of hell, where they shall be burned. Yusjarun. They will be burned. And Qatada, the famous scholar of the Tabi'un, he commented that they shall alternate between the punishment of being dragged in the fire of hell and the punishment of being dragged through boiling water. Each one of them will be a type of punishment through the fire and also through the boiling water. Also, of the things that are mentioned in the Quran and also referenced in the Sunnah, point number 5 in our lecture, is the resurrection on their faces, and the fact that they will be taken into Jahannam on their faces. The people of Jahannam, we seek Allah's refuge from being amongst them, shall not walk into Jahannam. No, they shall be turned upside down, and they shall be then dragged. We mentioned in the previous point being dragged, this point on their faces, wal'iyadu billah. They will be humiliated from their faces being dragged through the dust to get into Jahannam. And Allah mentions this multiple times in the Quran. For example, Surah An-Naml, verse 90, that Allah Azza wa Jal says that that whoever does whoever brings evil, وَمَنْ جَابِ السَّيِّئَةِ, that whoever brings evil, فَكُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ, their faces will be turned upside down into the fire of hell. So كُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ, they will be tumbled in and thrown and turned around into the fire of hell. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 104, Allah says, تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ, the fire shall lash out and touch their faces, and they shall be in punishment and in torture and grimacing over there. Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 66, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ, on that day their faces are going to be flipped around. So they will be flipped around, and some of our scholars said they shall be roasted, a'udhu billah, like, you know, we roast chickens or we roast something of this nature. They shall be roasted, every single portion of their body, to be exposed to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will say, Ya laytana ata'na Allah wa ata'na ar-rasula, woe to us, if only we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger. So the point of this here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the rejectors to be flipped upside down, and they shall be dragged on their faces into Jahannam, and then in particular their faces as well are going to be tortured, and the fire of hell will be demonstrated or shown to them from multiple angles. This is what the Quran is telling us. Also we learn point number 6, that the skins of those who are being punished are going to be constantly replaced. And this is, of course, very explicit. Almost everybody knows this from the Quran. Surah An-Nisa, verse 56, that Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا آتِنَا, those who rejected our signs, they shall be they shall be subjected to a fire of hell. Those who reject our signs, we will scorch them with the fire. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ, this is the shahid, this is the point. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ, every time their skins are completely demolished or cooked or roasted, we shall replace them with new skins so that they can experience the punishment. So the skin of the kafir is not going to remain the same. That every time the skin goes, because in this dunya we have one skin, and if it so happens because of an issue or whatnot that a portion of the skin becomes scalded or burnt or whatnot, it is possible it will lose sensation. It might heal, maybe it will not have any sensation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we shall substitute, we shall keep on rejuvenating, keep on renewing the skins of the people of Jahannam. Every time the skin completely chars out, completely becomes corrupted or burnt through or scalded, we shall replace that new skin so that they will perpetually feel the same type of punishment. We seek Allah's refuge from that. Also, of the things that we learn about the fire of hell and of the punishments of the people of Jahannam is that the faces of the people will be darkened with soot and with charcoal and with the dust of the fire of hell. And so the faces themselves, because you know we have in our nature, in our fitrah, that we keep our faces pure and clean, and that we want to make sure that we are the most presentable. But of course in the fire of hell, that is not going to happen. And the people's faces will be completely disheveled and darkened with the soot and the charcoal of Jahannam. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. In Surah Yunus, verse 27, وَالَّذِينَ كَسَبُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ بِمِثْلِهَا وَتَرَقَهُمْ ذِلَّةٍ مَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا وَلَأَكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those who do evil deeds shall be given those evil deeds back, and they shall be filled with shame, or they shall be shamed on the day of judgment, right? So, وَتَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ, shame shall cover them. Meaning, they will be so embarrassed, they will be so full of shame, it is as if shame has covered them. مَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ. They shall have no defense against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then here's the point of the verse here. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا. As if their faces are covered with the darknesses of the night. Complete. Imagine the darkness of the night. Their faces are completely covered with that darkness. And of course, this is the darkness of the fire of hell. The darkness of the soot. The darkness of the heat and the exhaustion. And on top of that, the internal anxiety and the internal regret and the internal humiliation that they have, all of this is going to come and give them that look of sheer exhaustion and terror. We seek Allah's refuge from that. Also, of the things that we learn of the punishments of Jahannam is that the people who are in Jahannam, they will see their false gods with them. They will see their objects that they used to worship with them inside of Jahannam. And this is, of course, we have gone over this in previous lectures as well, when we talked about the Day of Judgment, and also when we talked about entering heaven and hell, and other aspects, we talked about this issue, and you can go back to listen to all the evidences there. But over here, I'll just mention one or two that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that Fir'aun and Iblis and all of them, يَقُدُمُ قَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَرْتِ. He shall be leading his own people into the fire of hell. And Iblis himself is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and your followers are going to be in Jahannam. And we learn in the Quran, إِنَّكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ حَصَبُ جَهَنَّمْ. You and all that you worship besides Allah shall be the fuel of Jahannam. And in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that every person shall follow what he used to worship in this dunya. And so those who worship the sun will follow the sun. Those who worship false gods will follow false gods. And so all of this demonstrates that this is going to add. So imagine this being, this human, would worship a false god, thinking that this god protects him against Allah. And instead of that being protecting him against Allah, he will see that being in Jahannam with him. We seek Allah's refuge from that. Of the things that are mentioned as well, is that Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam is going to surround the people all the way, and it will be all the way up to their chests. And this is again mentioned in a number of verses. يَوْمَ يَغْشَاهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ وَيَقُولُ ذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 55. On that day, the punishment shall surround them. It shall cover them up completely. And it shall be above them. It shall be below them. And they shall be told, taste what you used to do. And so they will be surrounded by the punishment everywhere. And in some verses, we learn that the fire itself will be going all the way up until their chests. And we learn this as well in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 16, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُم مِّن فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ وَمِن تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ ذَلِكَ يُخَوِفُ اللَّهُ بِعِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ. That they shall have layers of fire above them and layers below them. And Allah says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ. This is what Allah uses to make His servants frightened. Allah strikes the fear of Jahannam into the hearts of His servants. We should be terrified of Jahannam so that we avoid falling into it. يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ. O my servants, beware of Jahannam. So here we have, they shall have layers of fire above and layers of fire below them. And this is very clear from Surah Az-Zumar. Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. That Jahannam shall surround all of those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the notion of being surrounded. In other words, the fire of Jahannam is not regional. It is not from one section. It is not going to punish only one segment of the body. Rather, the person in Jahannam shall be completely surrounded up and down, top and bottom, left and right, complete surrounding. This is called ihata. And Allah is using this verb to describe the fire of Jahannam. And of course, in Surah Al-Humazah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. This is very explicit here, that Allah is threatening people to be thrown into that which destroys. Which is, what is destroys? It is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is perpetually kindled. And it is a fire that goes all the way to the chest area. التي تطلع على الأفئدة. So this is a fire that goes to the chest area. And so this is another description of Jahannam in the Quran. Also, we have yet other descriptions of Jahannam that we're going to come back to later on. That some people will be punished with specific punishments only for them, or for a category of mankind. And this is, we're going to come back to this, inshallah, in a later lecture. And of them, so for example, we have that some people, they shall be punished because they did not give zakah by their objects that they would hoard, that they would not give. Those objects would become things that are going to punish them in the fire of hell. So the gold itself is going to become an object of punishment. Or the animals that they did not give zakat on, they will be trampling over them, perpetually punishing them. So we learn that the very objects might become instruments of punishment. We also learn, for example, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, رأيت عمر بن عامر الخزاعي, or another name is عمر بن لحي, they're both the same. I saw عمر from the tribe of خزاعه, that his intestines were dragging in front of him as he was being punished in the fire of hell, because he was the first person to bring in the pagan practices into Arabian culture. So Amr ibn Luhay was the founder of Arabian paganism. Before Amr ibn Luhay, the Arabs were following one God, the monotheism of the Prophet Ibrahim and the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. However, obviously, with Amr ibn Luhay being introduced, the issue of paganism, the issue of superstitions, the issue of changing the calendar, all of these things were introduced by Amr ibn Luhay from the tribe of Khuza'a. And so, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw him being punished specifically with these types of specific punishments. So, these are some of the things that are mentioned about the punishments of Jahannam. And before we move on to the next topic of Jahannam, I wanted to finish off today talking about another miscellaneous group of points that deal with Jahannam. Of these miscellaneous points is that we learn from the Quran and Sunnah that Jahannam will have far too many people in it, far too many to count, and that there will be more people in Jahannam than there are in Jannah. In fact, the majority are doomed to Jahannam. And this is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, Surah Saba, verse 20, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah is saying, the presumption of Iblis regarding mankind proved to be true. And the majority of mankind followed Iblis, except for a small group of believers. And this is the default, that most of mankind are not interested in a higher purpose in life. Most of mankind are content to live animalistic lives. And when a human being lives like an animal, then that human is worse than an animal, because at least an animal has the excuse of being an animal. What excuse does a human have of acting like an animal? And this is why, again, the punishments are so severe, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with faculties and with tendencies and with an intelligence and with fitrah. And all of this should guide mankind to one simple question: why am I here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? That question should be preoccupying every single person. Who created me? What's going to happen after death? All of this goes back to, what is my purpose in life? If a person chooses to not care about this question, if a person immerses himself or herself in the pleasures of this world simply to stall off answering this question. Well then, they have acted in the most arrogant manner imaginable. They have never once thought, what am I doing and what's going to happen after life and death? And we believe that the answers to these questions are self-evident once you open your eyes and you look around you. There is one God. This God has created us. He must have sent us a prophet and messenger. And so let us look and see who has claimed to be a prophet. Look at their messages. And when you discover the Abrahamic religions, they are all, you know, making some sense to you, but each one is superseding the other until you come to the message of our prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this verse we learn Iblis is going to win over most of mankind except for a small group of believers. And in Surah Sad also, Iblis is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that I shall fill Jahannam with you and with all those who follow you. All of those who follow you, they shall enter into Jahannam. And we learn in the Quran as well that وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, most of mankind are not going to be believers even if you desire it, O Messenger of Allah. And we also learn as well the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing other prophets, and those other prophets might have small groups of people. Some might only even have two or three. Some might have even one, and some might have no followers at all. So imagine those prophets that had two followers, one follower, zero followers. Their entire nation rejected them. So look at the quantity of each one over here. And that's why we also learn that in the hadith as well, that for every person going to Jannah, there will be a larger quantity going to Jahannam. So we learn this as well in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, that more people are going to Jahannam than going to Jannah. And of course, in the Quran, every time a batch comes and enters Jahannam, the angels are shocked. What? Even more? What? You're still coming? And every time a batch comes, the angels will ask them, how did you end up here? How did you come here? Didn't a warner come? Didn't you have a messenger? And they will say, indeed, a messenger came, but we rejected that messenger, and we said Allah did not reveal any book down to us. And therefore, we learn from these verses and these hadith that the people of Jahannam will be more than the people of Jannah. But let us not forget, when I say people, I mean both men and jinn, because jinn are also going to be in Jahannam. Jinn shall be in Jannah and jinn shall be in Jahannam. In Surah Hud, verse 119, Allah says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Your Lord's decree shall be fulfilled, that Jahannam shall be filled to the capacity with both jinn and with mankind. So Allah Azza wa Jal is promising to fill up Jahannam with jinn and with mankind. And in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 179, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, we have destined hell to be the place for many of jinn and ins. So Allah is saying the majority of jinn and ins are going to end up in Jahannam. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. And that's when you say kathir, this means the majority are going to end up over there. The minority of people will end up in Jannah. And the fact that the jinn will also go to heaven and hell, this is something that there is no controversy over, and it is something that is explicit in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for again the Quran, it is from the testimony of the jinn themselves. Surah al-Jinn, verse 14-15. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّ رَشَدًا وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. That the jinn are saying, we have some jinns that are Muslims and some jinns that are transgressors. So whoever submits to Allah, then they have indeed chosen the right path and they shall enter Jannah. And as for those who are transgressing, then they shall be the fuel of the people of Jahannam. So the jinns themselves are saying that they shall be some of them shall be the fuel of the people of Jahannam. Now, if somebody were to say, how can the jinn be punished with Jahannam when they themselves are made out of fire? Right? This is a question that might come to the people's minds. That jinn are made out of fire. How can they be thrown into Jahannam? And Jahannam is also fire. We respond that multiple ways. That the fact that the jinn were created from fire does not mean that they are of the exact same material or the exact same, you know, concept as the fire of Jahannam. So fires are of many different types. And Allah created jinn from one category of fires, and the fire of Jahannam is another category. And it is possible to be punished with something that is from the same substance. So for example, we know that we have been created from clay, and stones and rocks are also clay. Stones and rocks can kill us. Stones and rocks can torture us. Stones and rocks can bruise and wound us, even though we are created from the same origin as stones and rocks. And so the fact that the shayateen are created from a type of fire does not negate that they will be punished in another type of fire as well. And also we can say, secondly, Allah is capable of all things. Perhaps the fire that will be used to punish the jinn, the type of fire, the place of the fire, might be different and suitable for their punishment. The point is that Allah is indeed capable of all things. The final point that we'll mention for today's lecture, which I needed to put in somewhere, so I decided to put it in over here, is that there is a misconception or something that is raised by some of our brethren and sistren about the people of Jahannam, that there is a misconception out there that people say that the majority of women will go to Jahannam. And this is a huge misconception or a misunderstanding of a hadith in Bukhari. It is mentioned in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the khutbah on the day of Eid to the men. And then, because obviously there's no microphone, he then walked to the women's section, gave them a small, you know, sermon. And in that, he had a small phrase in there, you know, a sentence in there, in which he said that, groups of women, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, guard yourselves against Jahannam. For indeed, I saw that the majority of the people of Jahannam were women. And then he encouraged them to give sadaqah and charity. Now, this is misunderstood by, unfortunately, too many people to indicate or to assume that a majority of women will go to Jahannam. Let us be very clear here. The fact that the majority of Jahannam will be women does not imply that the majority of women will go to Jahannam. If in one area or one location you have a majority of people of, let's say, one profession, it does not mean that that profession represents the majority of all of mankind. Unless and until we are told the statistics of Jannah, this in and of itself is meaningless when it comes to most women or most men going to heaven or hell. The statistic becomes meaningless. In fact, we learn that from the earliest of times, many of the Sahaba and early scholars, they said that both Jannah and Jahannam shall have more women in it. And this is based on a hadith in Sahih Muslim that Muhammad ibn Sirin said that the men and the women began having a debate amongst themselves, which one shall be more in Jannah. And so there's this debate going on until finally they asked Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and Abu Hurairah used as an evidence that every single man shall be given at least two wives in Jannah. And so he said the women will be more in Jannah than men. So from the beginning, there's been this notion that both Jannah and Jahannam will have more women. And of course, this makes complete sense because, again, historically speaking, most of Earth's inhabitants are women. If you look at it from the beginning of time, generally speaking, there have been more women than men. And so both Jannah and Jahannam will have more women. It is not because women are women that they're going to be more destined to go to Jahannam. A'udhu billah, that is not the case as well at all. Also, this hadith, by the way, it is actually about, Muslim women who might potentially be punished for a temporary period for a major sin that they have committed. Remember, this whole context of the hadith is not the permanent inhabitants of the fire of hell. It is for Muslim women to be careful that they do not fall into specific things that the Prophet forbade, such as arrogance or rejecting, gratitude, being ungrateful, you know, rejecting the good of other people and their husbands that they have, and using vulgarities or namima or saying things they should not say. So the Prophet is telling them that because of these sins, they might end up in Jahannam. Now that means that we're talking about Muslimas and the Jahannam that they will end up in, as we mentioned and will mention again in our future lecture, is not the Jahannam of the Kafir. This is the peripheries of Jahannam or the outskirts of Jahannam. This is not the actual pits of Jahannam. No person who lowers his head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dies upon La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah shall enter the gates of Jahannam or be punished in the same place as those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to understand the context of this hadith that, oh, groups of women, give your charity, for I saw that the majority of hell were women. This context, it is a type of threat to make the audience act better. It is a type of threat meant to incite a fear that is meant to live a better life. And as we know from our religion and our sharia, all of the Quran and hadith about threats of punishment are viewed in a very specific light. And that light is, we understand that the purpose of these texts is to frighten. And that we also understand that the majority of those people who are, you know, doing this, that inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah is ghafoor and Allah is raheem and Allah will forgive. And Allah has the right to forgive. And so all of the punishments about, you know, those who do ghiba, those who do nabima, those who drink alcohol and whatnot, this is amongst the Muslims. We are hopeful and optimistic that all amongst them who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all amongst them who make istighfar, all amongst them who are genuinely feeling regretful, that inshaAllah ta'ala, they shall be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't negate the fact that the Quran and Sunnah mentions their punishments, but it is meant to incite a type of fear that is meant to better their lifestyle. So let us put this hadith in context. And remember that Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim. And also remember as well that this hadith, it is a punishment that is not linked to the gender as much as it is linked to the actions of the people of that gender. Notice there's a very key point here. The Prophet ﷺ did not say, "O women, the majority of you are going to Jahannam." Not at all. He said, "I saw the majority of the people of Jahannam to be women." They asked him why. He said, because their tongues, issues of the tongue, and because ungratefulness, right? So both of these are actions. So he linked that to their actions and he did not link it to their gender. So realize that it is not that just because a person is of one gender that their chances of entering Jannah or Jahannam go up statistically, not at all. Rather, the purpose of this hadith is to highlight two of the most common sins that are more common in one gender. Now, the other gender has other sins that are more common. There is no question that men have the desire for power and men have the lust of the sensual pleasures and men have other issues that corrupt them, generally speaking, more than women, and they have to be worried about that. But in this hadith, remember the context is the Prophet ﷺ is going to the women folk and he's giving them a special lecture and he's encouraging them to be more pious. And so he is not saying, "Oh women, you're all going to Jahannam." Not at all. Rather, he is pointing out two or three major mistakes that are more common amongst them so that they eliminate those mistakes and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it is too late. Also, by the way, realize the Prophet ﷺ did not say this phrase in front of the men. Okay? Any man who uses this phrase to make type of score a point about men versus women, this person has completely lost the plot, completely. Subhanallah, this man who is trying to use this hadith, does he not have a mother? Does he not have a sister? Does he need to be reminded that he comes from a man and woman? There is no superiority of gender in Islam in terms of nobility. There is no such thing. We are equal twin halves in terms of humanity, in terms of nobility. Yes, there are different responsibilities, of course. But in terms of Jannah and Jahannam, in terms of our humanity, in terms of our net worth in the eyes of Allah, there is no question that each gender is complementary and equal to the other. And the last point for this particular issue as well. So my point is that we should never use this hadith. It is ludicrous. It is foolish. It is un-Islamic for any man to... What type of foolishness is this? You're going to boast about what exactly? About what exactly? It doesn't make any sense. The Prophet ﷺ is giving a very specific lecture for a female audience. He's not saying this in front of the men in order that they become better ladies. We should keep that context when we narrate this hadith. Also, the final point about this particular issue is that really we can flip it around and say that just like the majority of when it comes to rich and poor, the majority of the rich will go to Jahannam, not Jannah. And the majority of the poor will go to Jannah, not Jahannam. Okay, think about that. Let that sink in. That if you look at it statistically, right? If you took all the very rich multimillionaires, if you look at the elite of society, the creme de la creme, right? The highest 1% or the 0.1%. Within that group, the majority, the vast majority, are going to end up in Jahannam. Okay? And if you look at the lowest, 20% or whatever, the ones struggling and whatnot, generally speaking, you find amongst them piety and taqwa and ikhlas and tawakkul, and you have more generosity in that class. And the majority of them, more amongst them, will enter in Jannah. Does this mean that wealth itself is evil? Does this mean that poverty itself is blessed? No, it's circumstances, right? So with wealth comes privilege in this world, and with privilege comes responsibility, and with responsibility also comes sometimes massive failure and sometimes massive benefit. So we can flip this around and say that in reality, it is as if women are being told that they have the potential to do so much good, but they also have the potential to do so much damage as well. So when she goes astray with multiple, leading more people astray because of the privilege that Allah has given her, because of the power that Allah has given her that He has not given men. So all of these things need to be taken into account. And inshallah ta'ala, in our next lesson, what we're going to do inshallah ta'ala is talk about the people of Jahannam, and also very, very important point here, the people who will end up in Jannah but are going through Jahannam. What exactly is it with them, and what do we have information about them? Because as I've said multiple times, we need to be careful. All of these that I mentioned, all of these points that I've mentioned in today's lecture and yesterday in last week's lecture, all of them, they apply to those who rejected Allah and did not submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are those who are called kuffar, the kafir, those who don't have iman or correct iman in Allah. Those are the ones that are going to be punished. As in those punishments, as for the one who uttered La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and who lowered his head to Allah, and who did wudu, and who prayed or fasted, even if occasionally, and died upon that state, that person shall not be punished with any of these punishments whatsoever. They have a different category or status. And also inshallah, in our next lesson, we'll also discuss the very, very interesting topic of who the people of the A'raf, or the elevated places, are. There's a whole surah in the Quran called A'raf, and A'raf means the elevated place. And Allah mentions a group of people that they are not in Jahannam, but they're also not in Jannah, and they're in the middle. And Allah references this group, which is a very interesting group. What is this? Neither here nor there. And inshallah, in our next lesson, we'll talk also about them and what are the major interpretations that our scholars have about the people of the A'raf. Inshallah, with this, we come to the conclusion of today's lecture. Inshallah, we'll resume next week. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون